Hello, and welcome to The Huntington Way. My name is Pearl Sonnenshine, and in today's episode, we'll be talking about and defining the acronym STEM and what that means in education. Soon, I'll be interviewing Sarah Knox, the director of a STEM program called Starbase Peterson, located in Colorado Springs. So let's start with the definition of STEM. STEM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. There's also an acronym that you may have heard within the past couple of years called STEAM, which stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Arts, and Math. STEM is becoming more and more common over time, and STEAM is not too far behind. The idea of combining these four subjects into one cohesive curriculum came about in 2001 when the U.S. National Science Foundation used the acronym when referring to career fields in those areas or curriculum associated with the disciplines. STEM slowly started integrating into U.S. schools in the early 2000s due to American students not performing as high in those subject areas compared to other students in other countries. As a result, the United States put more effort into incorporating STEM into schools so that students were better prepared for an innovative workforce. So the question is, how did educators incorporate STEM programming into their schools? One example is that teachers included and still include project-based lessons that require real-world application skills related to science, technology, engineering, and/or math. Another example is extracurricular activities or clubs related to these topics, such as robotics. Those have grown more and more and have become popular and are still popular today. And students also started getting the chance to shadow professionals who worked in STEM fields in order to gain interest. All of these ways of integrating STEM into education are still true today, and the programs have only grown over time. Now, I've touched on this a little bit already, but why does STEM even matter besides the fact that American students would want to be competitive in the global marketplace? And why should we care? As our technology advances, there is no chance of avoiding using all four of these disciplines while creating something, whether it's a car, a watch, or even a bicycle. Science, technology, engineering, and math all need to work together for someone to be able to be successful in an innovative field of work and in order for our society to continue to progress. The sooner children start learning about these areas, the better prepared they will be for a constantly changing and growing world. But here's the thing. Not everyone, including myself, is interested in the maths and sciences. And that is where STEAM comes in. STEAM is very similar to STEM. The only difference, and some would argue is a very significant difference, is the A for the arts. As we all know, there are people who love math and science, and people who connect more with the humanities. The benefit of STEAM is that it allows for artistic expression, which is particularly beneficial for students who love the arts. With STEM and the arts working together, we have technology, architecture, and modes of transportation that are functional and pleasing to the eye in their design. STEAM allows students more ways to show their knowledge, and it encourages lessons to be multidisciplinary. This way, students can hopefully grasp the idea that all school subjects are not only applicable to the real world, but also that in life after high school, you need to apply a variety of skills from different subject areas into your work. I also recently learned that there is yet another acronym, STREAM, that has been added into the mix, where the R stands for reading and writing. Of course, I could go on and on about the pros and cons of sticking with the original STEM versus adding STEAM or STREAM. On one hand, we want our children to get the best education possible, and perhaps that means combining these various disciplines into one. While on the other hand, many people argue that STEM lessons inherently involve the arts anyway, and that we shouldn't take the focus away from science, technology, engineering, and math. Here with me today is Sarah Knox, the director of the Starbase Peterson program, who can share some of her insight with us about STEM programming and how people can get involved. So welcome, Sarah.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you for being here. So tell us about yourself and your journey in STEM programming.
So when I was young, I wanted to be a biologist, specifically a marine biologist. I loved science. I loved learning. I loved exploring. And I really wanted to be in that field. And that was my dream from as far back as I can remember. In high school, I took biology classes. And when I went on to college, I enrolled as a biology major. However, my entire school career, I struggled with math. I was never the kid who just got multiplication. I struggled with division, and decimals made no sense to me. And then when I got into higher maths, I really was left behind. I just did not stay up with my peers. So when I was in college, I had a really hard time. I struggled all the way through. Finally made it up into basically, they called it at the time, like introduction to calculus for non-math majors or something like that. So it would be like intro calc that you would take. And I totally was lost. I did not understand calculus at all. And when I was struggling, I went to talk with my professor. And my professor said, well, what's your minor? And I said, my minor's history. And she goes, well, then you should just quit and switch to your minor. So my advice from my professors in the early 90s was just quit. When I talked to my parents, they said it didn't matter. It's okay. You don't need it. Girls don't need math. My parents were very old-fashioned. So I really had to give up my dream. So I really like this program because I'm trying to get kids to realize they don't have to give up their dream, even if they're not the best.
So. Definitely, yeah. And what a great message to, you know, to impart on other people who might be experiencing something similar.
Right.
Now, for those who might not be familiar, what is Starbase Peterson?
So we're not only at Peterson. So we're the local branch of a nationwide Department of Defense youth program. So we are a program mandated by the DOD to work with school-age children. Our program encompasses K-12, but our primary mandate is to work with fifth graders to supplement, enhance, and support what teachers do in the classroom. We don't replace what the teachers do. We do not teach mastery to the subjects or to the standards, but we just inspire and enhance them specifically at the fifth grade level. So as they go into middle school, they'll have a foundation and a little bit of a wonder wanting to explore those. The program began in Selfridge, Air National Guard Base, and there was a teacher in the local area named Barb Kozak, and she had students that she was trying to get connected to math and science. And this is back in the early 90s. She was like, what can I do to get my kids inspired? She said, well, they like ghosts. Well, that wasn't going to work. They like dinosaurs. Well, she didn't have dinosaurs available, but they also liked planes. They liked airplanes. They liked rockets. She was right next to an Air National Guard base. So she began a partnership with a very small grant, and that has now grown into 79 sites with more coming all over the United States and as far away as Guam and Puerto Rico.
Wow, that's amazing how much it's grown. And what? How did you get involved in Starbase? What is your role right now?
So I originally brought my students to Starbase as a local district teacher. So my fifth grade class was signed up to go to Starbase. I had no idea what it was. But when I got there, I realized that they really had advantages for my students because they weren't there trying to recruit or anything. They were just using that military backdrop to inspire my kids by doing real hands-on activities. And we went for 5 days. And I realized the rest of the school year, I kept referring back to, well, remember at Starbase, that's why we're doing this math thing. Or remember at Starbase, well, this science activity is very similar. I kept referring back to what we did. So I did that 2 years. And then I eventually found out that they had a position open for an instructor. And so I went into this program because I thought that I could have more impact with a large number of students instead of just one small group. So I was able to touch over 1,000 kids instead of just a few at a time. So I was there for 4 years as an instructor, and then the original director retired, and I was asked if I would like to stay on with the program as the director, and I really believe in the program, so I made that jump just this past fall.
Great. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
What is the benefit of Starbase Peterson, or in Starbase in general, being a STEM program as opposed to a STEAM program, because I mentioned that a little bit earlier.
Right. There is a big difference kind of between, you know, STEM and STEAM, like you said, where STEM focuses on like the classic sciences, whereas STEAM gets a little more artistic. There's definitely a relationship between math and the arts. Music is fractions and frequencies, visual art, geometry, and optics. Engineering and architecture are mostly creativity and design. So there is a lot of art in STEM already inherently. And so for what we do, we have such a limited time. We really focus on, okay, what are those kind of fourth grade to sixth grade standards? And then we give activities to kind of enhance that and for them to have a foundation of why as they move on. So we're not replacing any of it. It's just for our limited time, we kind of want to get the most bang for our buck. So we definitely enhance those, you know, core standards, but we do allude to the design part of engineering, or we talk about, you know, well, you know, fractions isn't so bad, you know, music is fractions. So we allude to it, we just don't teach it.
Definitely, yeah. Do you have any thoughts on STEM versus STEAM in general that you want to share?
They're both important. I mean, the arts are very, very important. And like I said, it's really hard to separate one from the other. And I really like that kids still have that opportunity. It's very sad to me when they take all art away. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when it comes to what I do, just kind of laying that foundation for exploring into engineering and other forms of technology, that lays the foundation if they want to go into, you know, digital design or something like that.
Definitely. What aspect of STEM do you feel most passionately about?
I want kids to understand that that all of the STEM subjects, it's a process. You may not get it right now. You may not be the best. You might think that you're not good enough or you're not smart enough, but the more you do it, the more you learn how to speak the language of science. I was never good at math, but the more I taught math, the more it became the best subject I teach. Not because I am a mathematician, it is still not my field. But when a kid says, well, I don't get it, I know exactly what they mean, and I can help lay that foundation so that they have tangible, like real world activities that help it click for them. So they can realize the struggle's okay, but you just keep working, and then that whole world of science opens up to you.
Now, going back to your current role as the director, mm-hmm. what are some differences in kind of your day-to-day duties as the director compared to being an instructor?
It is a little bit different because I'm not working with, you know, a classroom of 25, 30 kids every single day. My job is primarily to keep the operations going. As a Department of Defense program and contractors that work in that program, I need to make sure that we're meeting our standards while also providing what the local school districts need. I do a lot of liaising with school district officials or school officials, but I also work with my teachers to make sure that they are giving the best instruction to the kids. And ever so often I do pop in and still teach a class, one, to model for my newer and younger instructors, but also sometimes I just want to go in and watch that wow factor because it makes the paperwork side of it a little more worth it.
Yes, I can understand that. On Starbase's website, it mm-hmm. lists that the academies serve students who are underrepresented in STEM. Can you speak a little bit to that?
Right. So our program is pretty much open to everybody, but we our mandate from the Department of Defense is for Title I schools, so those underrepresented schools. But we don't tell a school they're not allowed to register specifically because they're not a Title I school. But if I have a waiting list and I can only get in one more school, I would then go to that Title I school first to give them the chance to come. And if they can't, of course, then I would go to another school. So we welcome everybody. It's just if we had to choose one more class. But we want to make sure that all kids from all backgrounds understand that, you know, those STEM careers or those STEM fields are open to everybody. And regardless of what part of town they come in, what background their parents have, there's going to be some career where they go, wow, I didn't know that was math. Or, oh, I didn't know engineering could be that fun. So that's what we do to open it up to everybody.
Which is so great that you give that opportunity to so many kids. And again, I bet you can relate to that yourself from your experience growing up, you know, not really understanding, oh, I'm a girl, I'm a woman, therefore I can do math. Or
I wish I had had Starbase back in the 80s. It yes. would have been the greatest thing for me.
Yeah, definitely. This is the Huntington Way. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I will continue speaking with Sarah Knox about her program. Welcome back to the Huntington Way. I am here with Sarah Knox, the director of Starbase Peterson here in Colorado Springs. So, Sarah, before we went on our break, we were talking a little bit about communities that are underrepresented in STEM. Can you tell us more about that and what sorts of career fields people can even go into if mm-hmm. they have this background knowledge?
Yeah. So we work with, like I said, all kids throughout the districts from all backgrounds, although our main focus is supposed to be Title I schools. And so we look at those underrepresented and underserved communities. And it's largely because they just don't know that they have, you know, STEM in their everyday lives. So many of them just are in small communities and they've never really been outside of that neighborhood. So we open up that door. Part of it is we bring them onto the military base, not so much, like I said, we're not recruiters, but we just want them to kind of see, you know, how much diversity is out there in our military and how many careers are open to them. And when kids come into us, we have guest speakers come in, primarily military, to kind of give that wow excitement about, you know, airplanes and satellites and, you know, other spacecraft and, you know, high tech and things like that. But we also talk to the kids when they come in about why they're going to be using this math stuff. Why are they going to be using this STEM stuff? And I've had kids tell me, well, I'm never going to use any of this. One kid in particular told me she didn't need to learn any of this stuff because her parents owned a tattoo parlor. I said, oh, your parents are very highly skilled STEM technicians. And she looked at me like I was crazy. I was like, well, your parents, first of all, they're using, you know, the tattoo gun. That's technology. That changes. They're, you know, using different pigments to match with different skin tones. Well, that's math. That's optics. That's chemistry. They need to have, you know, first aid, CPR in case somebody goes into shock, you know, by, you know, having the actual tattoo applied. But then also taking a flat two-dimensional picture and putting it on a three-dimensional arm or leg, that's geometry. Mm-hmm. And she just did not realize how much STEM her parents used. I was once talking with my hairdresser about what I do. And she said, you know, I never realized in school how much geometry I would be using as a cosmetologist. Sure. She knew she wanted to be a cosmetologist, but thought she would never use math. She goes, I use geometry all the time because everybody's head's a different shape. So we just try to give them a little bit of that kind of opening up the world so that they see I am using STEM every day, whether it be a satellite technician or a cosmetologist. So
that is so great. And I can't tell you how many times students have asked me when I was a teacher, you know, when am I ever going to use this in the real world? Mm-hmm. So what great answers that you were able to give, yeah, your hairdresser and that one student with the tattoo right. parlor parents. So can you talk about the challenges and celebrations that come with incorporating STEM into education programs?
So the biggest celebration that we have is when we give a why to students. Like I said, why do we have to learn this? So we give them activities, and then we kind of, after the fact, go into, so this activity is really going to be used in an everyday job somewhere. It may not be your job, but there is a job. I had a group of students just a week or two ago. My classroom teacher was working on introduction to measurement because the whole 5 days they were going to be with us, we were going to be doing a lot of measuring, a lot of finding mass, you know, finding distance. And then right in the middle of that, I had painters come in wanting to measure the room for doing some painting projects that are come on. So I had to interrupt the class for my painters to come in. But they're using laser rulers to measure the area of all the different walls. And then they took all those different areas and put them together for one final number of how much area they were going to be painting. So I was telling the kids, like, hey, right here, you're in the middle of a measurement class. Why are you going to need it? These guys right here do it every single day. And the kids were like, wow, you have to know math to paint? Well, if you want to know how much paint you need to buy, you're going to need to know it. So I love just giving them that why. I also like showing them that there's an end game. You know, like I said, they need to realize that the struggle is worth it. And if they kind of get over that fear of struggle, it opens up a whole world of amazing careers. And then another challenge that comes with incorporating STEM in education programs, primarily at the elementary level, is a lot of those teachers are not STEM specialists. They tend to be developmental specialists. They tend to be reading specialists. And that is very, very important. We need them. But when you start getting into those slightly more complex science and math applications, that's not their field. So we're there to support them. So we inspire the kids, but we support the teachers. And I love having teachers go, that was wonderful. It aligned exactly with my standards. Or I've had teachers go, I've always wondered exactly how that worked because I know it's right, but I was never taught it because that's not what I learned about in college. So we support the kids, but we also support the teachers. And that really helps get that STEM going in those younger grades because, you know, teachers just may not have that background before kids get into secondary education. So I really love supporting that. And I think that's the biggest celebration for what we do to make sure that everybody has that opportunity.
Great. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts about STEM programming specifically in schools? What are schools doing right and what are they doing wrong with their STEM or STEAM programs?
Well, I'm not a policymaker, nor do I wish to be. Right. But I think the most important thing that all educators can do, and they all truly want to do, is spark that interest with a context. All teachers want that for their children. I don't like STEM being a buzzword. I don't want to just throw tech at a kid to say, look, I put an iPad in their hand, or look, there's a 3D printer in the library. I really want to see kids using it every day and using it for authentic purposes. So using that iPad to create videos that go along with their presentation, or, you know, use that 3D printer to actually build something for a larger engineering project they're doing in their classroom. So by incorporating it authentically, I think it's very, very powerful.
Yeah. And it is, you know, it can be difficult to use technology in the classroom the right way. But right. I think having that in mind, yeah, creating authentic experiences right. So that you're not just using technology for technology's sake. Right.
Right. And I don't believe anybody wants to use, you know, technology the wrong way. And sure. I don't think anybody is intentionally doing anything the wrong way. I just really love to see it when it's done the authentic right way.
Yes, definitely. What does Starbase's summer programming look like? Because summer is here.
Mm-hmm. So we are a year-round program. All Starbases around the country offer some sort of summer programming, but every site is different. Specifically at our site, we've always had camps for fifth graders on a very limited basis. But this year, we're kind of piloting, expanding it from as young as second grade all the way up through 12th grade. So every place is a little bit different, but we are really trying to expand our program to make it more exciting. And our high schoolers are going to be building a rocket for the first time this year.
Wow.
From scratch. I'll let you know later how that goes. But we're expecting great things this summer.
That's very exciting. What are some opportunities that you offer during the school year?
So our school year is packed. We offer 5 full days to about 60 classes a year. We work with public schools, private schools, charter schools, homeschool academies, and individual homeschool families. So we have a little bit of everything. Our upcoming school year is almost fully booked. We are going to have a couple of homeschool academies in August that we have not registered for yet. But for the coming school year, we start off at the beginning of August and we go all the way through Memorial Day next year.
Great. How can people get involved and where can people learn more?
So our mentors and our volunteers primarily come from active duty military. And like I said, we try to get them in just to give those kids kind of the wow factor. You know, you put a military uniform in front of the kids and they're like, wow. You know, it just wows them. And then they tend to listen to, wow, you know, you've got a really cool career. Oh, I could do that in the civilian world too. But it just kind of sparks their interest, regardless on which side they eventually wind up going into, military or civilian. That's just that wow factor. But to learn more about our homeschool academies, our summer camps, and things that we might be doing in the community, we have a website, starbasepeterson.com. And we're also on Facebook, again, Starbase Peterson.
Okay, pretty straightforward there.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for being on our show today. It was
You're
a
welcome.
Pleasure learning more.
Thank you.
This has been The Huntington Way. My name is Pearl Sunshine, and we'll catch you next time.